This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the Sports Map Radio Network.
All right. Let's do this.
Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, hour two, rolling along this morning. Glad you can be with us on Sports Map Radio. It is Wake Up Call. Hit us up on Twitter at Tony D Radio. Coming up this hour, Good, the Bad, and the Dumb. And then Hondo Carpenter is going to join us from Las Vegas. Covers the Raiders. We're going to get more on the story on Jimmy Garoppolo and his situation with his foot injury.
Tom Brady, you know, starting.
Tom Brady.
Unretired.
Coming in to help out, but also becoming part owner of the minority owner of the Raiders.
He's not married anymore.
No.
So there's nothing holding him back.
It's a wide open, baby, wide open. And also a little on the Vegas Golden Knights, who open up the Stanley Cup Finals on Saturday when they take on the Florida Panthers. What a success story the Knights are, huh? Remember the Seattle Kraken were in the second year. They made a nice little run in the postseason, too.
Didn't the Knights make a run in their first year?
They did. Yeah, they made it to
the finals, right?
They made it to the finals where they lost to Washington.
Yeah.
So
what's going on over there?
That's great. That's a great.
We don't have that with our teams.
It's amazing. Like they have a draft of players currently in the league. Like you can protect certain players, but then everybody's up. So you have to kind of get your pick of people that I don't want to say unwanted, but I mean are not protected, and then you form your team that way, and then you just get into the system and you be part of the draft. They won their division. They won the Pacific Division, and they are now in the finals for the second time in 5 years. Whatever you want to put that. I mean, it's amazing. It's good for them, and they might win it all. They got home ice advantage. Florida is an 8 seed, like their counterpart, the Miami Heat. They were 4th in the and also knocked off a Boston team, but they knocked off the Bruins, that were the number 1 team in the NHL. So, and by the way, Matthew Tkachuk of the Florida Panthers has got 21 points, likely to win the Conn Smythe. But Jack Eichel is playing well. Aiden Hill is in goal for the Vegas Golden Knights, so we'll get a little bit of taste. But mostly it's on the Raiders and the Jimmy Garoppolo story about his foot injury and what this could mean, him being the starting quarterback. And, of course, the Raiders and Tom Brady's connection. Now, there's reports that Tom Brady is not interested, but what do you expect to hear in March?
Well, May. That, but I'm also expecting Tom Brady to constantly go, "I'm not interested."
Of course. That's exactly what he'll do.
Until, push comes to shove, and he's sitting there staring at the fact that Brian Hoyer is going to be starting for his team.
Exactly. Like what we were saying yesterday. The guy's going to be in the owner's box going, "Wait a minute, I'm watching Brian Hoyer quarterback this football team? It was crazy."
In a Josh McDaniels offense?
What? Yeah. No, I think not. I
could do that with my left arm.
I don't think I could sit still. I think I would be so... just bouncing around. I think, think about that for a second. That's actually something we haven't experienced before with Tom Brady, which is, how is he going to react to a season when players are playing football and he is watching them do it?
Yeah.
He has not done that. He has not done that in his entire life.
Well, since he played in high school.
He was on the, exactly. He was on, he started and not started games at Michigan, and then he was behind Bledsoe. But this is the first time he's not being associated with a football team as a player. So imagine if you are Brady, you got a little minority stake in the Raiders, you're kind of going to the games, and Brian Hoyer and Josh McDaniels, two people you're very familiar with, are playing, and you're like, "I could do better than that, and I have a stake in it. It's not just will they want me. I own part of the team." So I don't know. This is kind of a wild, weird story. But like we were saying yesterday, it seems like the universe lines up for this kind of stuff. It really does. It really does. So we'll get to Hondo Carpenter's thoughts. Again, NBA Finals start on Thursday night in Denver. Good strategical stuff to kind of dissect in terms of Bam Adebayo against Nikola Jokic and how Adebayo was going to have to stop Jokic, or can he stop Jokic, and what does it mean for other Nuggets players. Denver is so good around him, but you might just be in a situation where Jokic gets his points and tried to shut down everybody else. Tyler Hero could be coming back in this series. There's more optimism on that. We said yesterday when we talked about this could be a little bit of a smokescreen, but it feels like more and more people were picking up on the idea or on the story that Hero has been cleared to do this or that, and it could be a game three return if that's indeed in the cards. But we'll see. I mean, we'll see how it plays out. Long-term, don't ruin your long-term projection for a short-term game, even if the short-term gain is a possible NBA championship. But we shall see. Denver is very well built. They've got size. They can shoot the outside shot. But, boy, there is just I just don't know about Miami's – their ability to draw up the right stuff at the right time has really been mesmerizing in these playoffs. How they've been able to overcome anybody's run, anybody's push. They just call a timeout and they seem to push the right buttons. So we'll see on Thursday night in Denver for game one as the Nuggets and the Miami Heat play for the NBA title. And as I said earlier, I know this isn't the best matchup for the NBA, and I know the numbers will come back. This is the one thing. Remember, yep, that there are people who will argue about the popularity of the NBA or whatever, and they'll point to numbers and they'll say, "Oh, look, it's down 60% from it." There's many reasons behind it.
I almost feel like you got to ignore it.
I do too.
I think if you're an NBA fan, and most people who are watching the finals, especially this year, are NBA fans. They were the same people last year. You might have a few upticks because you have, you know, it's market related.
Right.
But I don't think you can say that, oh, because the ratings were down. Well, we don't know yet, but since the ratings were down, it was a terrible final.
Right. Exactly. I think
that's a fine line that we're probably going to be teetering on. Late June when we find out the ratings overall?
What I don't know is, and I've been seeing these stories for years, I don't know what its effect is. Like when somebody puts out on Twitter, the NBA finals are down 22% from last year. So what?
Yeah.
Like okay, so now you have to tell me what that means. What does that mean? Like if I'm living in San Antonio and I'm excited about Victor Wembanyama, and I may have talked to my wife into getting season tickets for the first time since we've lived there. That's if that was me. How does that affect me? Are my season tickets less? My season ticket more to make up for the money? Like, don't just say ratings are down without any context to what it means to the fans. You think the NBA is going out of business? Are you implying that it's a television show that's going to get canceled? Like something Kevin James is producing. What is it that you want to do with that tweet or that story that the NBA finals ratings are down? Because as I said, what does it matter if 10 people are watching or 100 people are watching? Now, if 10 people are watching, you might have to buy it on streaming, right? Like it may change the way you consume the product, but you're going to find a way to consume the product. I mean, Lord knows they're putting bowling on TV for crying out loud. They're going to put an NBA game, even if it may not be on ABC, right? There may be a point, you know, where we are shifting to a more on-demand, direct-to-consumer consumption of sports that may be coming down the line. But you've got to put those things in context because it doesn't matter to me if they're down 20% or up 20% if I'm a fan and I'm watching anyway.
Listen, go back like 10, 15 years ago.
Right.
When they first started putting games on TNT or TBS.
Right.
I thought that was a death nail for the NBA.
Sure. Sure.
And it turns out like we didn't even care.
No. Just went to it.
Yeah, it was just like, right. Yeah, okay, it's on TNT, fine.
Yeah, and it's so different because this is where all the other leagues are extremely jealous because the NFL doesn't do this.
Right.
The NFL doesn't have to do this. Right? The NFL Super Bowl can be two small markets. It doesn't matter. Like it just won't matter. And that's why I've always pointed to people like when they go these conspiracy routes, when they're like, oh, they don't want Buffalo in the Super Bowl. They don't. They don't want Buffalo in the Super Bowl. Like that's insane.
It's Kansas City and Philadelphia. Are those huge markets?
Right. Like they
I mean, you know, they're bigger than others, but it doesn't matter.
Believe me, if that world existed in the conspiratorial mind, they wouldn't. Kansas City is not the team they would have wanted Patrick Mahomes to be leading to Super Bowls.
Yeah.
Right? They would have rather have him in Dallas or someplace like that. But it doesn't matter because the Super Bowl is 150 million people. Right? It's like 148, 49, 50, 150 million people. It doesn't matter. The event supersedes who's playing. Have you ever heard anybody say, I'm not watching the Super Bowl because, I mean, NFL fans, I'm not watching the Super Bowl because I don't like the matchup?
Of course, all the time.
Right? Like, but the other sports, they struggle with that. Right? Even Major League Baseball. The World Series should be that. The World Series should be, doesn't matter who's in it, it's a special championship. It does not matter who's in it, but it does. People will say it all the time. Oh, the Yankees aren't in it at all. I remember when the Astros first got in it, when they went from what, last to first? Oh, Houston, yikes. Well, now Houston has been a strong presence in the playoffs, like Kansas City and Patrick Mahomes, where they now are in it more consistently and better. When before they would get in with other quarterbacks and lose, right? But now it's, you know.
How about this for you, right? So I just Googled this real quick, and this is a telltale thing. The Rams Bengals 2022 Super Bowl, right?
Right.
They're about 38.5 million viewers. Okay.
Okay.
Or, I'm sorry, no, 99. I'm sorry, that was a difference of 90. That was Spanish viewers. 99.18 million viewers, which is huge, right. A lot of numbers. Denver, Carolina, 111.8 million. So nearly, what is that? Nearly 11 million more viewers.
Yeah.
And we're talking, I mean, Denver, Carolina, you can't get more small market than that.
Sure. Exactly.
So, yeah. It doesn't matter. Super Bowl,
the NFL does not matter.
They don't care.
But the NBA, everyone goes, oh, this will be terrible.
Oh, my God.
Them. Well, yeah, when they renegotiate their rights, probably. It just means maybe less money for the teams. But believe me, your local NBA team is not going to be boxing up their equipment anytime soon and going into bankruptcy court. All right, we'll continue. It's Wake Up Call.
Wake Up Call continues now on the SportsMap Radio Network.
Time for the good.
That's really nice.
The bad.
That's the bad guy.
And the dumb.
What an idiot. Oh, what a loser.
All right, good, the bad, and the dumb time here on your Wednesday. Glad you could be with us on SportsMap Radio. Hondo Carpenter is going to join us from Las Vegas to talk Raiders and the Jimmy Garoppolo situation. But first, the good of the day.
Good of the day. You know what? I can't get enough of the story. We might have to get the author on.
Okay.
The story to talk, Ryan Shane, or Shane Ryan, sorry, I've mixed up the names. Shane Ryan of Golf Digest wrote about these two women who saved their college program's golf eligibility.
Okay.
Both of these women went to, I think it's Meredith College in the South Conference, the USA South Conference.
Okay.
And they combined, I think it was a two-round total. They combined of a score of 512.
Oh.
Which was well over par, about plus 518 with scores of 199, 276, 158, and 173. But they saved their golf program.
So how did they do that?
The reason why Meredith College had a has a decent golf program.
When you say saved it, I mean it was going to be cut?
It was, no. I don't know if it was going to be. I'm going to explain. I don't know if it would have been cut from the college.
Okay.
Right? I don't know if the university would say, hey, we're cutting the college program. But they would not have been eligible to participate in the conference championship.
Oh, okay.
Meaning they would miss out on a lot of funds. And then if they weren't eligible to play in the college championship, and this is another NCAA thing, so we can always thank them for this. There is a penalty period, like I think of 3 years before they're allowed to participate again. So what had happened was the golf program had a lot of injuries, and so the head coach went and said, "Hey, I need golfers," and basically took an ad out in a paper type of deal, posted some signs on a billboard, and two women stepped forward, having never played golf before in their life.
Awesome.
And went out there and shot and just played. And where the story really gets fun, or I guess almost depressing, there were a lot of mean girls out there saying, you guys are an embarrassment. You should not be out here. Because, you know, one girl's shooting 276.
But the other ones didn't know what was going on?
Right. Maybe they did, but they still said it was an embarrassment.
That was awful.
It was a two-day, like, one girl had a two-day total of 276.
Yeah. Okay, so basically she shot 130 around.
She had never played 18 holes of golf in her life. But... you know, the thing was is that other people were going up to her saying, hey, you guys are our heroes. You're the only ones having fun out here, and you're saving a college program.
Right. That's what I'm saying. Why wasn't that 100%? Why weren't
mean
all
girls
the other,
are going to be mean?
I know, but I get it. But why wouldn't there should have been every coach should have told their team, guys.
Yeah.
These two girls have never played golf before, but they are wanting to save a program they're not in. They're not in it.
Yep.
They are just doing it for the school. So let's treat them with respect. Play your game. Don't say anything to them. Let's give them a warm welcome because they're trying to do something.
You're going
to
win. I mean, you're going
to
win.
That we don't have to do. Yeah, you're going to win your matches or whatever, however it is they do it.
Right.
Just let them have some fun. Now, again... just let them do their thing. Don't worry about them. And they're doing it for a very, very, very good cause. And they should be applauded. Yeah. And if I hear any negativity from this team, I will kick you off this golf team tomorrow.
So you had two to the two women. We got to name them. Macy K. Ayok. She had never played 18 holes and didn't even own a set of golf clubs. And Sarah Marshall, who had little kids clubs.
Oh, God. You know what? This sounds like a perfect opportunity for like Callaway or Titleist or somebody to jump right in here and load them up with some stuff and gear. And if I was a school in like Arizona or Florida, I would be like, you can come here for a week, an all expense paid trip to our golf academy. Come down here, you know, like. You know how guys go like, hey, I'm going to golf school in Arizona for a week, like whatever. Like let them do it. If I'm the marketing rep of all of these golf companies, I am on this tomorrow, right? Or I'm on it right now.
I would be too.
These girls are getting gear. They're getting golf balls. They're getting everything.
This is a compilation over what transpired during the golf season this past spring. But this story came out May 26th. So it's just a few days old.
Okay.
And I was just now hearing about it. It's like it's making the rounds where everyone's just kind of, you know, I'm starting to see it a little bit more on Twitter. Like, hey, have you heard about these two girls? I mean, they were terrible. You know, like even the coach said, like after the first tournament, there were whiffs, there were penalties, and all he kept saying is like, you just got to make it through 18.
Just play 18 holes of golf.
You know, I mean, they were probably hitting 8 shots each hole, if not more, right?
Like, that's awesome. That's awesome.
Yeah.
No, this is a great story. This is a great story.
And in doing so did save their college program because, you know, the coach did say, it's like, yeah, there would have been an NCAA probation of some sort because the NCAA is going to NCAA.
No, good for them.
Probably would have fined them X amount of dollars, suspended them from being able to participate.
And
it was just injuries to the team. I mean, the team suffered injuries like any other team would, but the school is only 1,400 people strong. They don't have, you know, they don't have their deep, deep pockets.
How embarrassing is it to criticize these girls and realize that the wave of positivity is going their way? Like they're going to get on. They might be on Good Morning America. They might like when this story catches fire, these girls are going to get a little bit of treatment, man. They're going to get a little bit of get a little bit of press. That some of the girls on this thing in this league are never, ever, ever going to have. Ever.
No, exactly. Well, and then like this, the coach did say they've earned their spot to be on the team next year if they want.
Awesome. Awesome. And yeah, and like I said, jump all over it. Jump all over going out to schools and getting equipment and stuff. It'd be great.
Yeah. Right. Oh, I would. Yeah, exactly. If you're Callaway, if you're Ping,
jump
if you're
all over this.
What are some other golf companies out there that, you know, just take advantage, make them your spokesmodels for just a month.
That's awesome. All right, what is the bad of the day?
The bad of the day got to go to, it's bad but good.
Okay.
Goes to Delaney Irving of Canada. She won the annual Cooper's Hill Cheese Rolling in Wake. Now, if you're not familiar with this is a competition held every single year. It's about a half hour outside of London. down Cooper's Hill, which is a near vertical hill. They roll a 7-pound wheel of cheese and people chase after it.
Oh, okay.
So you probably have seen video of it where, because the reason why you watch this is because people go rumbling, stumbling, dumbling down the entire hill.
Are they trying to catch the cheese?
They're trying to be, the cheese will obviously beat them down the hill.
Beat them down the hill.
So right. They're trying to be the first one after the cheese.
Oh, I got it. Okay, that makes sense.
And why Delaney Irving is bad but good is that Delaney Irving won the race, which she was later told about after she woke up in the medical tent.
Oh my God! So she
she fell. You can watch the video. She fell. She fell. Not wasn't her first time. The second time she fell and then just kind of rolled across the finish line. She literally face planted.
Oh no!
Ended up with a concussion, but she won the race. Tony,
God bless her. God bless her.
It's a fascinating. I've seen this race before. It's fascinating to watch because you literally people are just hauling down this hill. And within 10 feet, you know, they it's like gravity takes over and you can see it in their eyes like, yeah, bad idea.
Right.
You know, if it was you and I, we might be heading like, you know, doing that little sidestep down the hill sideways.
Yeah.
You know, making it nice and easy for us to go down. I mean, by equivalent, if there was snow on this hill, probably a double black diamond. Just to let you know how steep it is. And, yeah, every single year you see people just running and just, you know, cartwheeling, bodies just flailing all over the place. I'm surprised there isn't just more broken bones. That's why they have a medical tent.
Oh, yeah.
At the bottom of the hill. So, yeah, she won, but, you know,
she got pretty beat up to do it.
Had to be told about it when she woke up.
Imagine flying all the way to London to participate in a cheese rolling contest.
Yeah, I know.
Like when people say, "What are you going to London for? You're going to see Big Ben, Parliament,
sure,
the
of course,
London
yeah,
Eye."
Yeah.
Well, yeah, but I'm also there for cheese rolling.
The Cooper's Hill, what is it? The Cooper's Hill cheese rolling and yeah. Wake.
And you have to explain it to everybody exactly what it is. Like, and they go, "Oh, really? Yeah, no, it's a big deal."
There is something to this. I'm watching it on TV right now. There's a bunch of guys running down the hill. This thing has been ran. They know as far back as since 1826.
Oh, what?
Yeah.
Well, 1826.
That's where they know. Like, they don't know if that was the first one ever, but that's the first documented one.
Man.
And not only do you get the prize, you get to go home with the wheel of cheese.
I was gonna say, do you get the cheese? You get the cheese, right?
Yeah,
why not?
If you win, but it's just type it, just Google it. That's crazy. It is hysterical. I mean, I would never do this because I would die.
Yeah, right?
I know I would die. I know I would come back with so many broken bones that if I didn't die on this hill, I would die when I got home from my wife.
Wow. The bad is coming up next.
And then the dumb.
The dumb is coming up next. And then Hondo Carpenter will join us to talk a little of the Raiders situation.
We're going to have a little more fun with the NCAA.
Yeah, okay, when we come back.
I'm just giving you a teaser.
The dumb is coming up next. It's Wake Up Call on Sports Map Radio.
Is Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us. We continue. It's the good, the bad, and the dumb. We've got the dumb to get to, and then Hondo Carpenter is going to join us from Las Vegas to talk about the Raiders, Jimmy Garoppolo, and the situation there with their quarterback. So let's get to the dumb of the day.
The dumb of the day is a little bit, I don't really know who to put the dumb on. So you're going to have to decide, okay?
Sure.
But Kentucky, University of Kentucky,
right,
was awarded the opportunity to host one of the regionals for the NCAA baseball tournament.
That is correct.
Have you seen the story?
So I have, because there are 16 regionals.
Yes.
That each contain 4 teams.
Right.
In the regional. So you get 64 teams.
And in the Kentucky regional, you have Kentucky, obviously, West Virginia, Indiana, and Ball State. And West Virginia, Indiana, and Ball State are all needing to travel to University of Kentucky. Here's the problem, Tony, is that there is a country festival happening at the same time.
The Railbird Music Festival
is
going on.
And there are no hotel rooms to be found.
Yes, it is a rather big deal. And someone didn't. So here's the problem with this, is that you want to reward Kentucky because they were one of the top 16 teams right. in the country. But you also have to make sure that people can get to the games and that there's enough availability of hotel rooms when you give these things out.
Yes.
Right? I mean, that's you know, so the problem is that if you're the Railbird Music Festival, you schedule it when you can schedule it because you've got artists that have other conflicting things, and you can't anticipate that Kentucky baseball would be hosting a regional, even if they're having a good season.
No, you can't.
So
they, Kentucky did find a solution.
Did they?
They did. West Virginia, Indiana, and Ball State will be staying in the dorms of Kentucky University.
Oh, okay.
At $185 per night.
So they are staying in dorm rooms for $180-something dollars a night?
Yes.
I would pay $180-something dollars a month to pay to sit in a dorm room.
Yeah.
One of those dorm
they
rooms.
Will be staying in dorm rooms for $185 per night. And Kentucky gets to keep this money.
Yeah. Oh, great.
Just
that works great for them.
That's why I don't know who to put this on because the NCAA is to say, yeah, makes sense to us. Who else is going to get? University of Kentucky said they're hiring a linen company to come in and provide fresh linens. They're hiring Aramark to provide team meals, and it'll be they'll have a menu of team meals that they can give to everyone and. I'm not sure how much they're paying Aramark. I'm not sure how much they're paying this linen service. They're going to have, there will be daily housekeeping. I'm not sure how much they're paying for the daily housekeeping.
Okay, so the cost makes a little sense.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, we're treating it like a hotel. They're not hotels,
like hotel, but
we're going to get the hotel services.
I'm certain there's still a profit.
No, I'm certain
they made here off of three teams who are hanging out at your school.
Now, are these just the regular student dorms? Or are they getting to be in like Oscar Schwiebe's dorm?
That's like, a great question.
Like, are they getting to be in the athletic dorms, which are probably like penthouses?
It's Baldwin Hall.
Okay.
Which was opened in 2005.
All right.
So, I mean, somewhat newer.
I got to think dorms are getting newer and better, right?
Yeah.
When they build a new one. Like if you're a student at a college that's got an old dorm, you're probably dealing with a concrete block.
But see, here's the
thing. I did.
I'm gonna rephrase this. Maybe not $185 per night, depending on how many rooms you actually occupy, because the rooms are all split. They're $92.50 a night.
Oh, okay.
But they're split. So if you have four, you're getting two. If you have four people staying together, you have two rooms.
So is this the teams or is this the fans? Can the fans
the teams.
Get
it? Oh, it might be the fans too.
Like if I've got a kid that plays on Ball State and I want to see him this weekend, can I stay at the dorm?
I think this is geared more towards the teams because you need a block of rooms. You might be able to find like an odd hotel room at the local
Marriott. I was
going
to say, listen, I think for the teams that's important. They have to get back and forth to these games.
They have to be all in one
place.
But
if your mom and dad and you got to go 45 minutes to like Frankfurt or something, that's not the end of the world, right?
It's why wouldn't you just let them all be, right?
Yeah, sure. Why not? No one else is using them. Why am I making even more money?
Yeah.
So the college baseball tournament is really nuts. It's they're fun. I love the way they determine their champion. I love it. I just love the system. I don't think it works for other sports, but it works because they take four teams and you play a double elimination regional. So whoever doesn't lose twice wins. And then there are 16 teams that are left. And those 16 teams are paired up and they play a best 2 of 3 series called a super regional. And then the winner out of that goes to an 8-team tournament in Omaha. And then it's back. And then you're in a bracket with three other teams. There's another bracket of four teams back to double elimination play. And then if you emerge out of your bracket, you're playing for the national championship in another best 2 out of 3 series. So it's really fun. It's really, really fun. College baseball has gotten a lot better than it used to be. Remember when it was all like 21-19
yeah.
and like aluminum bats that were smashing home runs? They've dialed back the bats a bit. And now it's not so bad, but it used to be nonstop barrage. Those games would be 5 hours long, 17 runs in the third inning, that kind of stuff. That's crazy. So yeah, well, Yeah, you don't want to take it away from Kentucky hosting a regional. It's a big deal, and they're making a little bit of money. So, no, that's a hard dumb. It's a good dumb, but it's a hard dumb because you can't blame the concert. They didn't do anything wrong. Like, they just had the concert when they were supposed to have the concert.
Yeah. No, I mean, it just happens.
And maybe you can't blame Kentucky for being good enough to host a regional, but the dorm thing, I guess, is the best solution.
I mean, I don't know what else you could do because you can't have, like you said, you can have Ma and Pa driving miles away.
Sure,
but
that's
you can't have the
fine.
Team,
you can just go
like an hour drive away or stuff like that.
Yeah, it's not like they're playing in places where it's like, oh my God, the nearest hotel is 3 hours away because we're in the middle of the desert. Like it's Kentucky.
Is,
it's pretty populated.
I just find it funny that the NCAA is like, yeah, Kentucky, you can make money off of this.
Yeah, why not make a little money?
Yeah,
they should. Like, yeah, it should be it that should be neutral, right? Like that should be a neutral because you could see a lot of other schools going, hey, there might be plenty of hotels, but why stay in a hotel when you can stay in the luscious dorm of Gamecock Central here in Columbia? All the amenities of home.
Will this become a trend?
Yeah, exactly. Will that become a thing?
You know, if you're having a good season, are you all of a sudden going to go to the, I don't know, Chamber of Commerce and go, hey, guys, why don't you put on a last-minute show?
Exactly. Hey, you know, Campbell Camels, why would you want to stay at the Best Western when Gainesville dorms are fine? You can just stay here. Stay right here in the Florida Gator dorms while you're down here playing in the regional. Just for the low, low cost of $182 a night, you can have all the comforts of home. Yeah. We provide linen service. Oh, boy. We'll give you fresh sheets, maybe some food, air conditioning, maybe. We'll see. It's not too high. Yeah, it might become a new trend. You know, there's no front desk clerk or anything like that you can complain to.
No.
When the neighbors are next door making too much noise.
And the rooms are basic. I love the little flyer that they put out, too.
Yeah.
It's fantastic.
Did they?
Oh, yeah. They sent out a little memo, pictures of what the hotel room's like an aerial floor plan. Because basically what it'll be is that one room, and there's two rooms, right? One room, and each room can fit up to two kids. You can either choose the bunk bed option.
Which is always great.
Or you could choose just two twin beds on the floor kind of facing one another.
When was the last time you slept in a bunk bed? Can you remember?
Well,
like you ever been in your family member's house and they're like, Ron, you get the top bunk.
Yeah, not including my kids, right? Because my kids had bunk beds for years. Sometimes I would just go and lay down with them and end up falling asleep.
In the top bunk?
No, never in the top
bunk. I'm asking the top bunk.
Top
when was the last time you were on the top bunk of a bunk bed?
The one that sticks out in my head would be summer of 1991.
Okay.
I had to be 14 years old.
All right. I haven't been
maybe
on the top 15. Of a bunk bed since I was probably 10.
Yeah, I think I was like 14 or 15 because I was hanging out with my cousin a lot, staying with him. And, yeah, he had bunk beds in his room. His bed was the bottom, so I was like, all right, I'll take the one on top.
All right, very good.
What I remember most was that it was always hot.
Yeah, exactly.
Because heat rises.
Yeah.
And I'm just
I had an elevated bed in college, but it wasn't a bunk bed.
All
it
right.
wasn't like there wasn't a bed underneath it. There was a desk underneath it.
But I did. I also wanted to point out, too, that these two dorm rooms, options that you have, I mean, they're adjoining rooms. So it's basically four people to a whole big wing sharing one bathroom.
Oh, okay. That's not bad. That's not terrible. I was thinking that they were going to be like community showers and community bathrooms.
No, maybe there is, but, at least
they
have
their
own.
Go down the hall and,
No, you got four guys to share one bathroom. Or one guy to one room if you're rolling in the dough.
This is like hostile.
Yeah, it's definitely hostile.
Right. Oh, good Lord. Can't wait to hear the reports of dorm room fun at the Kentucky baseball region.
Kentucky wins by a landslide.
Right.
What are we going to call this?
No doubt. Hondo Carpenter will join us next. We'll talk Raiders and what exactly is going on with the Jimmy Garoppolo situations coming up next as we continue with the wake-up call.
Radio Network. Here's Tony D and Ron Culver.
All right, welcome back. It's Wake Up Call, Sports Map Radio. Let's go to our Progressive guest line. Progressive Insurance, drivers who switch and save with Progressive save nearly $700 on average. Call or click today. Find out if we could save you hundreds on your car insurance. Hondo Carpenter joins us, Sports Illustrated in Las Vegas, covers the Raiders. Also a city that's got the Stanley Cup Finals as the Golden Knights will take on Florida in Game 1 on Saturday. But the story about Jimmy Garoppolo is rather interesting this week, and it's going to help us shed some light on it. How are you, Hondo?
Hey, buddy. How are you? Good to
Thanks.
Talk to you.
Good to talk to you, too, as well. So let's go back to the Jimmy Garoppolo. He arrives at the facility, but he doesn't sign a deal. Correct me if I'm wrong. He doesn't sign a deal, but then comes back the next day and does. And there was some speculation or some thought as to why it didn't get done on one day and then the next. What exactly took place?
So we were in the building. We were summoned, and he came in to get his physical, and they were going to finalize the contract. And when in the physical, there were some things that the Raiders saw that they wanted, that I was told, quote, cleaned up, unquote. There was no concern about their medical people. They feel confident he's going to be ready to go. So they made some adjustments to his contract, and they signed it the next day, and it went on. And then what happened was, is late last week, there was a tweet from Pro Football Talk talking about he failed the physical and the contract had been drastically reworked. I don't know that I would disagree with that report. I think it's semantics. I don't think he failed the physical, because that certainly was not the term the team used with me, or people associated with the team, I should say. It was just, you know, hey, we think he's going to be fine. We want him. He's our guy. We just want to get this stuff cleaned up, and then, you know, we'll be ready to go. So when it came out, I think it surprised some people who maybe aren't up on the daily minutia. It was nothing that, you know, surprised my readers or followers or listeners. And here's the big deal, though, that I would say that a lot of people made, is he's got to pass his physical for his contract to be guaranteed. And I understand when you're a franchise, it's in terminal, you move on from Mr. Reliable and Derek Carr, who was always available, to a guy that, you know, is consistently injured, that concerns people. But that's not something that's new in the National Football League. These guys got to pass physicals all the time. So I understand why there was a lot of smoke and fire, but it was really nothing new.
So they knew he had the injury, and they knew he didn't have surgery on it. Was there any part of the process to where we are today that caught the Raiders by surprise?
I think they were a little surprised that he needed cleanup, but they understood it, and it was not anything earth-shattering, and it was nothing that their medical people said, don't sign him. He's not going to be able to perform. So I think they were a little bit surprised about the cleanup, but because they weren't the ones who performed the surgery and all that, they didn't know what to expect. And so that's why they did it, and then they were able to make the change. I can tell you this. I, from day one, was against the, and this is on the record, the signing of Jimmy Garoppolo because of his injury history. He's a winner. He's a tremendous teammate. He's great in the locker room. Everybody loves him. But when you're the Raiders and you move on from Derek Carr, who, whether you like him or not, was available, you better have a plan in place. And what I have said all along is that this guy comes out and plays 17 games, Josh McDaniels and Dave Ziegler are going to look like heroes. And if he doesn't, they own it. It's all on them. And I continually remind everyone of that in my writing, and I'll continue to do it. This is a sink or swim move. They moved all in on somebody. In fact, I wrote an article a couple weeks ago, the biggest gamblers in Vegas are Dave Ziegler and Josh McDaniels. And they move all in. Now, eerily interesting, as soon as we get off this phone call, I'm going to publish our latest article. In 1983, 40 years ago, the Raiders had the best receiver in football in Cliff Branch. They had the best defensive end in Howie Long. And of course, at running back, Marcus Allen. They've got Josh Jacobs, Davante Adams, Max Crosby. And also eerily similar, they had a quarterback who was drafted by New England, struggled, went to San Francisco, got beat up, and came to the Raiders, and everyone criticized it because he was injured, and his name was Jim Plunkett, and they won a Super Bowl that year. So, You know, clearly Josh McDaniels and Dave Ziegler have earned the right to do whatever they want, but they're also going to be the winners or the losers from it, and we're going to hold their feet to the fire.
I was going to say, well, you kind of set it up, but what exactly, how would you categorize the plan at quarterback with Jimmy Garoppolo? He's not being paid super quarterback money, but they seem to be all in on him. Like, what's the plan with how you see the quarterback position filled in the next couple of years?
Well, I think eventually they're going to either develop Aiden O'Connell, who is a guy that didn't get a lot of respect in this year's draft, because he's not a guy that's mobile. But that's not what the Raiders wanted. They liked him. You got to remember, Aiden O'Connell, if he had come out after the 21 season at Purdue, everyone had him projected as a first rounder. He goes back to Purdue, loses his brother. The team around him is not as good, even though he leads them to a Big Ten, you know, opportunity to go play in the Big Ten championship game. This is a guy that they really like that needs to be developed. If he shows those signs of development, they're going to keep riding that train. If not, they're going to probably end up going to get another rookie quarterback and starting over again. And it's going to be fascinating to watch. These guys are riverboat gamblers, and it's going to be their owner's in.
Yeah.
I give Mark Davis credit. He's in, and he believes in the direction they're going. So as long as they continue to show him where they're headed, I think they're going to be okay.
All right, so let's say Jimmy Garoppolo doesn't pass a physical. The foot is a problem. Is Brian Hoyer the answer? There's the Brady name. There's Matt Ryan could come back out of retirement. Carson Wentz. I mean, there's been a lot of names associated with what could happen. Are any of those viable?
Well, I'm going to tell you this. I certainly think Brian Hoyer's name is viable. He's a guy that when he was given, you know, chances to start at times performed well, but then had a massive injury. He's a guy that, you know, but he's not injury prone. This is his 15th year in the league. Clearly, I don't think you build for the future on a guy that's been in 15 years, but he would clearly be the option this year. But I'm going to share something with you. They wanted Tom Brady. They mm-hmm. waited for Tom Brady. Tom Brady was the guy they wanted. I broke that story. And I would not be shocked in the least bit. Now, don't want people, there's always going to be people who take my words and run with it. I'm not saying it's imminent. But if Jimmy Garoppolo can't go, I will be stunned if Tom Brady does not play.
I was leaning into that because I was thinking to myself, if you're Brady and this is the first time in your life that you are now an observer of football without being a part of it, and you're involved in this team in whatever way he's involved in it, and you're noticing that there's an opening here, it's Brian Hoyer, why wouldn't you contemplate doing it? There's no hoops for him to jump over, right? He can just go right in, right?
Correct. And remember, he's going to be part owner. So that's going to get approved probably at the next owner's meeting. So if anyone is concerned, well, what about him being an owner? Okay, they delay it.
Yeah,
and then
exactly.
No, this, I mean, everyone's trying to make more of this than what it is. I'm not reporting that it's imminent. I'm just
sure.
Telling you, I'd be shocked. Because Mark Davis, the owner, loves Tom Brady. We know that Josh McDaniels and Dave Ziegler are two of his best friends. This is a no-brainer opportunity. He's already part owner of another Vegas franchise with Mark Davis. He already is here. He has a home here. So I think it's a no-brainer. But I'm going to tell you right now, I think Jimmy Garoppolo is going to be healthy. Everyone I'm talking to tells me that. So I expect Jimmy to be healthy. And if he plays all 17 games, then Ziegler and McDaniels deserve all the credit. I think they win 9. If he doesn't, I think they win 7. This is their move, and they own it. But I do believe he's going to be healthy. I just think the biggest question is, can he play 17 games?
Honda, great stuff as always. Really appreciate it. Hope to get you on soon as we get closer to the season. Thank you as always.
Thanks, buddy. Anytime you want me. You're the best.
Thanks, man. Hondo Carpenter, Sports Illustrated in Vegas on the latest on the Garoppolo situation. Interesting. Yeah, look at that. Yes, I agree with him. I don't think it's insane to put the pieces together of possibly Tom Brady, but like he said, he thinks Jimmy Garoppolo will play. But it's not
like,
insane to put the pieces together.
Yeah, but I almost felt like we should have had a breaking news song afterwards when he said it's like it would not surprise him. I'm someone who's in the locker room in the building all the time.
Yes, because you know how it is, right? A lot of times we get these like wild things that the fans or people outside. And then when you get closer to the story, they're like,
until we're blue in the face.
Yeah, yeah, right. And but the guys who are really there every day go, listen, I'm there every day. None of that is going to happen.
Yeah.
He's like, if Garoppolo can't play, do not be surprised if Tom Brady's not wearing a Raiders uniform next season.
Our predictions come true that there's no way he's going to let Hoyer take the ball.
That's right. None. Not at all. Seems like Aiden O'Connell, though.